Peter this evening. You
Not
Are you is giving problems?
Just hold your finger.
one.
Just hold your finger up when you want me to change it. There
Introduction to the book of Ezekiel. I'll put in comments about that this morning. I think it's a little short, so I'll keep it and brief. From 11 o'clock, we're going to have fun looking at the first chapter in the book of Ezekiel. And I'd like to go ahead and start our study by actually turning to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. You say, well, why is this a place that you're going to go? We're going to do an introduction to Ezekiel. Bear with me for just a moment, and it'll make sense to you in a minute or two. Genesis chapter 2, we'll begin looking at verse 24. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. So, God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the sky, and the cattle, and all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed that shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. Verse 31, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's commit our time to Him and study to the Lord. Our God and Father, we come into your wonderful presence again this morning. Thank you that we've been able to exalt and lift up our Lord Jesus Christ as we, in obedience, remember the work that He did on our behalf. I pray as we look at a few concepts this morning, our hearts will be stirred to realize that your work is not finished. All the work of salvation is, but your work among mankind continues on as it has a day that is going to come with amazing results. That the meditations of my heart would be profitable and encouraging to us. Say anything that is disagreeable to your instructions, we pray that we would forget that. We offer these things up now in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we take a look at Genesis chapter 2, we find one key ingredient there. That is, as God created the heavens and the earth, he gave man authority and responsibility to be the custodian to take care of this planet Earth. We have been endowed with the responsibility of cultivating and maintaining and ruling this world we live in. One of the things that I think is beautiful is that food, God's original plan, is not an issue. It was abundant, and it was available for population, animal and humans. What I'd like to do, though, is take us into a process that we kind of derail in our lives, because sometimes we forget and take a look at the Old Testament. I'd like to go ahead and give you a little introduction to the book of Ezekiel, because there is something special that Ezekiel is communicating that impacts us today. And so let me illustrate that. This here is a luxury hotel. This was actually a picture in 1965. Hall was a 200-room luxury hotel. It was splendid in its day. It was built in 1893, and in 1965 it was still in operation. But in 1973, it was bankrupt. Instead of wanting to fund a buyer for it, they went ahead and they donated the hotel and the property to Bennett College in Millbrook, New York. Bennett College accepted it, and they became the custodians of this 200-room luxury hotel. This is what it looks like today. They did not do a good job. The college, when they received the hotel, made early on decisions that they did not want to be in the hotel business. And so they had every aspiration of going ahead and tearing down that luxury hotel and then building something of more meaning to the campus on that spot. Year after year went by. And so since 1973, it has sat there with storm fences around the outside trying to keep people, and nobody has given it any care whatsoever. And so this is what you see, because the custodian failed to take care of their hotel. Genesis chapter 2 told us that mankind, men and women, are given the responsibility of being custodians for planet Earth. That was the Edenic process that God had set. He had created this incredible, incredible place. Then he created man and woman in his image, and he tasked them with the responsibility of taking care of planet Earth. Of course, we know in short order, man rebelled, he sinned, and he gave his allegiance to Satan instead. And as a result, a globe that was filled with fruitfulness suddenly became cursed. Thorns began to grow up, and instead of being able to walk through orchards of apples and peaches and fields of strawberries, man now had to eat with the sweat of his brow. Man has not been a good custodian. You don't believe me? Well, let me just think of a couple headlines that I remember reading because of things that mankind has done, whether it's obedience or it's part of the process of this world ruining under the curse. Certain things are happening to this world that really ought to make you stand up and go. But let me also put this caveat out. We can't fix it. We can't fix the things that are happening here. All those that are saying, well, you know, you do this and you do that, what's going to fit? No. You can't fix it. It was just earlier this week, a headline said scientists are fearing that the Gulf Stream is slowing down and ceasing. And now they're saying Scandinavia is going to have some very cold winters because the water is not going to be. Another headline that came across, scientists have determined that the liquid molten core of the Earth has stopped rotating. It's now at the same speed that the rotation of the Earth is going at. And they say, well, this is going to potentially have devastating effects. Their headline related to that, there's indications that our poles are about to switch. North goes to south, south goes to north. I don't think it's going to affect aviation because aviation uses all global positioning from satellites. But if you're going to be orienteering, you're going to have to sit there and say, oh, okay, it's pointing that way for north, but really it's going this way. Chaos. Chaos. And on goes the process. Deserts are getting bigger. But California Lake State, they don't fill up. The production will disappear at the rate of 1 to 10 billion gallons per day of evaporation because of the excess of heat. We have not done a good job of being custodians, and it's partly because we are under a curse as a result of sin. Sometimes, self-reflection will make me feel the same. I get caught up with the idea that I just need to make it to the rapture, and then it's all done. You know, I'm out of here. And then I get to enjoy whatever God's program is. What we tend to forget is God's magnificent program. So we're looking at this broken down hotel because management did not put the resources into taking care of it. We're looking at the earth that is breaking down because we failed our responsibility to manage the earth. What do you say to management? You sit there and say, man, these guys, they're idiots. I mean, look what they have. There's just a lot of gold pieces. Seeing the condition of the hotel really leads us to believe that did a poor job, so there's a black eye on those who were responsible to take care of this. So here's the key that I want you to take away from this session. God is not going to get a black eye because of our mismanagement. Ezekiel helps us to understand the management under us and under the kingdom of Satan right now is going to continue to bring a lot of destruction and grief. Just wait until the tribulation comes. Oceans turn to blood and on there's a list of deteriorations to this rule. But God's not going to get away from it. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming, he comes Israel, repented, who looked upon him whom they pierced. Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. His feet are going to touch down the Mount of Olives. And it's all going to change. Management has changed. There was the first Adam. And because of sin and the passing on of that sin, we failed. The second Adam's coming. His name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is coming back. And when his feet come back, he's going to take the curse away. The fruitfulness of the land is going to increase. People are going to live for a tremendously long time. You're not going to have to worry about dogs coming and biting you, let alone black mambas and tigers. There's going to be peace. Management is going to be returning Earth to its pristine condition. And I believe part of that is because God is not going to enter into eternity with a black eye saying, well, he couldn't make it work. He's coming back to make it work. All right. We've got just a couple minutes. Let me now give you a quick demonstration of Ezekiel, and then we'll take a look at verse or chapter 1. All right, Steve, here we go. We're going to look very, very quickly at where, and what. Who? I don't have any pictures for this one, but it is the priest named Ezekiel, the son of Buzi. And he was born perhaps in Jerusalem, but he was under no doubt training to become a priest. And we'll give a little more detail about Ezekiel at 11 o'clock. But he was taken into captivity at a point and then taken to the place of Babylon. So for sake of time, I'm just going to introduce you author of this book that we're going to look at. We have got our Bibles open there, but the book of Ezekiel is written by this man named Ezekiel. priest of the Lion of Levi, living in Jerusalem, taken to Babylon. When, go ahead to the next one, Steve. I need to go here for a second because I'm just going to show a couple little points. He gave us a nice little room. So we got 630 BC. We just get frustrated with BC because it's just backwards. I like AD because, you know, it gets bigger. 630 took us all the way down 100 years to 530. Right here, we'll find out 11 o'clock. 623 is when most believe Ezekiel was born. You know, verse 1, chapter 1 tells us he was living in the land of Jerusalem or Israel. Daniel was in the first invasion in 605, so Daniel was already in the land of Babylon. So he's kind of a compatriot with Ezekiel. It wasn't until the second invasion, I may have been mistaken. Oh, I didn't make a mistake. Rotate. He went up to the land of Babylon in 597, but he did not receive his first vision in Ezekiel 1:1 into 593. And then his book covers the time period up to 559. So the Jewish exile went from 605 until the temple was started in 536, and there's where the book of Ezekiel is, early years in Jerusalem, taken in 597, and he begins the writing of his book between these years period. Where? Next picture. So stay up here for a second. Early. All of us know where Jerusalem is, in that little section up there. Next picture. Jerusalem's over here. Babylon's way over here. Here's a migration of Judah and Babylon to them. And so that most of them moved into that Euphrates area. Next picture. And in particular, we have the city of Babylon right here. This little train moved here, they call the Chebar River. It's an official river. It's a river because they dug down amazing feat of engineering. They needed water to be able to irrigate more area. And so they dug the River Chebar. Somewhere along the expanse of the River Chebar was the community in which Ezekiel lived. All right, next one. What? All right, we'll go through this fairly quickly. It's a lot of information, okay? But it's so important. So if you want the slide deck, just send me an email, and I'll be glad to go ahead and send you. All right, Steve, let's go. There are three segments as an outline for the book of Ezekiel. First one is that there are the judgments against Israel, which are chapters 1 through 24. Next. Judgments then come against the Gentile nations in the middle, chapters 25 to 33. Next one. It's coming home. This is the hope I'm talking about. The second Adam is coming. Management is going to be restored. The planet Earth is going to be put back into the condition that God had intended it to be in when he created that, the Garden of Eden, chapters 34 and 48. Okay, next. There are a number of memorable phrases. So here's a homework assignment if you want to take it. Read the book of Ezekiel and pay attention to the repeat. I'm going to give you a little cheater here. I'll give you a couple. First one that I noted was God refers to Ezekiel as the son of man. 93 times shows up in the book of Ezekiel. So we have various names given to various people throughout the scriptures. Ezekiel was known as the son of man. Next one. Then they shall know the might of the Lord. Oh, I love this. This shows the greatness of our God. He goes ahead and he makes these great prophetic statements. And then he puts that at the end. He says that when they happen, then they will know that I am the Lord. Next one. The word of the Lord came to me. Shows up 49 times. And the word of the Lord, Lord, is the actual name of the uncaused cause of the universe. In Hebrew, we would pronounce it Yavah. We translate it into English as Yahweh. This is the unique, distinct name of God. And he is speaking to Ezekiel. The uncaused cosmos, the universe, is communicating this message. Next. There are 12 visions, and I'll just go very quickly through these. First one is, and these, you're going to recognize this when you're going to read it, but I'm just academically going here. The first is the vision of the glory of the Lord, which we're going to take a look at in Ezekiel 1. Next. The vision of the scroll, chapter 2, verses 3 to 3. The vision of the abomination of the temple, the desecration that was taking place in chapter 8. The vision of the slaughter in Jerusalem. So disturbing and so sad because the scribe went through putting a mark on the foreheads of any that grieved the abominations taking place. And Ezekiel was the only one. Slaughter in the city of Jerusalem. That's the vision of the progressive departure of the Lord and the promise to keep a remnant. Keep that second piece in there. Yes. The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, departed from Jerusalem, but he promised that he was going to maintain a remnant. Next one. The vision of the dry bones. Oh, we always love that. The hip bones of the hip. But we have that in 37. The vision of the two sticks representing Israel and Judea being bound once again. Next. The vision of the dry bones. I got that twice. So, there's a freebie in there. I made a mistake somewhere. The last one, I believe, or what's it? The vision of Gog and Magog. We know the terrible battle that is described in there. Next one. Vision of the new temple. If we get a chance to start diving into this, the millennial temple is something to behold. Next one. The vision of the river flowing from the temple. Life is going to flow in the millennial kingdom to some of these oceans. And the last one, the vision, is the vision of the land. We saw that in the time of Joshua, and how the parcels were all allocated to the different tribes. The millennial kingdom is going to be reestablished, and some changes are going to be made. This is all in this book. And guess what? We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. He's going to come to the clouds. He's not going to see him. We're going to get clean. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal flesh is going to be put off, and we're going to have immortal flesh. And we're going to begin our residency with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God forever. So all this is taking place in the Word of God is putting his Israel in the tribulation. At the end, he's going to put an end to it because Israel, as I said earlier, believed, they repented, which is the key for him to come back. But he comes back. He comes back all by himself. He comes back all by himself. See, some of you know you're looking at that. Who does he come with, friend? He comes with us. He returns to set up his millennial kingdom on earth, get this world back into shape with us. So, my encouragement to you is reading of those last parts as we look at that. Steve, five quick themes. Ezekiel demonstrates the emotion of God. Can you imagine God weeping? Demonstrates that. Can you imagine God being angry and fiery? Yes, we get that. Can we speak God's love? Ezekiel shows the emotions of God. Next one. It shows that God is sovereign. Doesn't mean that he makes decisions for everything. But the bookends are there. He started this, and it's going to finish the way he sovereignly details. In the middle, he works with us. Next one. Okay. God shows his exceeding patience. Just think of hundreds of years that God worked with Israel. Israel comes. They keep walking away. And finally he says, you think you don't choose? You have to do something about this. And he scatters them through the nations. He is exceedingly patient. He is waiting today, I'm convinced, for that soul yet to be saved. He is patient, waiting for those who will accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. God keeps showing his promises. He makes promises. They're demonstrated as being fulfilled in the book of Ezekiel and then in our time. And there are more promises to come. And guess what? The principle that we use, if he could take care of the things that he already knows, then we can go to the bank for the things that are still future. And it shows his future earthly kingdom. Brothers and sisters, we sometimes don't remember or reflect on the fact that there is going to be an earthly kingdom here on earth. And Jesus Christ will ascend the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he will rule. Ultimately, this world, as great as he's going to make it, I would point you again as we close this little section. It's all going to get burned up with fervent heat. This world, even though he's going to show under his son's management, can be put back into great shape. It's been stained. It's been tainted. He's going to burn all of this up with fervent heat. It's the end result. He's going to introduce for us for eternity new heavens and a new earth. You're going to see Jerusalem come down. And in the new heavens and the new earth, just what's missing? There's no temple. There's no temple. Because God dwells with us. God and Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. Answers we can find in all of the pages that are here. It was to expand our awareness, our understanding, our anticipation. We're reading books like the book of Ezekiel. You are going to come back, and the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, is going to take responsibility for the management of this world. He's going to knock it into great shape again. Sin will have been paid for. By the way, he took away the sin of the world. He will restore it into him. We have only been by the first chapters of the book of Genesis. God, Father, thank you that you have such a plan for us. Thank you again that you have this amazing salvation that allows us to be a part. And while we are looking with anticipation and excitement for the day when the Lord will come back and we hear his voice and we get to see him in our new bodies, we need to also learn with anticipation the day that we will return with him to see what he does to this wretched world. We offer these things up now and ask for your blessing on the snack and the rest of the activities for today. May these things in our precious Savior name, Jesus Christ. Amen.